All right, Romans chapter 13 in your Bible. I'm going to talk to you about a very unpleasant subject. But you know why we talk about unpleasant subjects? Because they're in the Bible. And so if you find Romans chapter 13, I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to read the first seven verses together, and then we'll get into the study. Stand with me. We'll read together from the Word of God, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Romans 13, 1 to 7. Once you've found that, let's begin together. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore unto all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You may be seated. So when we come to Romans chapter 13, Paul says very straightforward, he says, submit to the governing authorities over you. Now he's speaking to people and he's speaking about Rome. He's speaking about a despotic empire that had basically spanned southern Europe and northern Africa all the way over into Turkey and Asia Minor and up into Iran and Iraq. And he said, they are a higher power and you are to submit to them. And these are strong, clear words. I mean, there's no ambiguity. We're going to see that there's no debate out of them. It says, submit. Now, it's a touchy subject. You have to admit, submission can be hard to accept, especially when we demand our rights to protest, when we expect that our voice for opposing ideas be heard. But if all those in authority were elected by the people, like many are today, shouldn't the people have a say in what authority, in what our authority does and how they do it? I mean, shouldn't we be the ultimate ones who control those who are in authority over us? That's how we think. And the Apostle Paul gives a blunt answer, even though there was nothing like democracy, our kind of democracy back then, and yet this still applies today. So it is when Paul is talking about submitting, subjecting yourself under someone else, he's not dealing with those that are in authority. It is not whether they're worthy or whether they're in the right kind of power. It is dealing with, are we under God's authority? Because a Christian does things not because we have a good leader. We don't obey only because we agree with our leaders. We submit because God is our leader. And God is over our leaders. And this is revolutionary for most people. Most of us have grown up in a very feminist mindset. Most of us have grown up in a worldview that says that government officials can be easily replaced. And we've got to change this thing. Our world is a mess, and we want to blame our leaders. And really, it's us that's to blame. We have created demons and monsters in our leaders. And we need to draw the line and say, no, this is how we're going to react to our leaders. And this is what we're going to expect of our leaders. And this is how we're going to actually allow God to be in charge of our life. Here's the point, okay? And I'm going to say this probably several times through the message. But if you have a problem with somebody over you, you know who your problem is? With God. Because he probably put them over you.
I don't like my parents. My parents always tell me what I have to do. And my parents this and my parents, oh, they don't know what to talk about. God gave you your parents. It wasn't an accident on either end. You say, well, my boss, they don't, just always takes advantage of me, whatever. You know, the Bible says that all authority was ordained of who? All authority. You say, well, I don't like my authority. None of us liked authority. So when we approach this thing, it's not dealing with boss or Taoiseach or Garda or teacher. It's not dealing with that authority. It's my problem with authority in general and with whether I can submit to the will of God. You know, there are people in countries all over the world that would die to live in Ireland, and they're coming because they want to have the freedom that's here. But you know what God says to them? Submit to the authority there. Wow. All right. So, verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. How many of you are Bible believers? Let me see your hands. All right. Now, how many want to be Bible obeyers? That word, that hand doesn't come up so fast. Amen. This is where it comes in. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be, the powers that exist right now are ordained of God. So he says, subject yourself to the higher powers. Listen to these words, all right? We have three sets of words. He speaks to every soul. He's not just talking to Christians. Now, he is talking to Christians, but he doesn't say only Christians. He says everyone needs to submit to the higher powers. And when he says the word subject, it means to take a place under someone else. We don't like that. I mean, I want you to treat me like an equal. Amen. I understand that. And there's great respect that ought to be amongst us. But there are people who are over us. And when they are over us, we're not to fight them, argue, debate. Most problems are because we don't like anyone telling us what to do. So he says, subject yourself. Come under the place of someone else. And he talks about higher powers. There are higher powers over all of us, both physical and spiritual. He's not dealing here with the spiritual ones. And by the way, can I say ahead of time, even though he says submit to these powers, there are powers we do not submit to, okay? Especially spiritual powers that are demonic and so on. You don't submit to those. You don't submit to fear. But there are also other powers like your friends and threats. You don't fear what people can do unto you. You fear what God can do unto you. So anyway, what does all this mean? All right, when he says subject yourself, submit yourself to the higher powers, it means you need to place yourself under the authorities that exist where you live. We don't submit ourselves to the president of the United States. We don't submit ourselves to the prime minister of France. We submit ourselves to the authorities that are here. Does that make sense? Okay, now everybody wants to move somewhere else, okay? I'd love to move to the Bahamas sometimes. But this is, we live here. And Paul says, submit to the authorities, to the powers that are over you right here. Even when those authorities are hard to obey, and especially when they don't make sense. I was given a speeding ticket in an area of 50 kilometers an hour. I was going 61. I thought it was an 80. And when the guard pulled me over, I didn't even see the sign. This was years ago. But I was quite perturbed. I says, it doesn't make sense to have a 50 kilometer an hour. It's a straight road. It was there just to make money, I thought. But guess what? I had to submit. Had to pay that dumb fine. I got 2 points on my ticket, or on my license, whatever. You have to submit, even when it doesn't make sense. Now, for the Christian, there are lines that we cannot cross. Like when our authority tells us to do something that is against God and against our conscience and against the scriptures. This is obvious. But the Christian generally surrenders their will to the will of their authority when they are told to do so. That's what it means to submit. As citizens, employees, children, wives, disciples, workers, voters, drivers, neighbors, parents, Christians, we subject ourselves to powers over us. Why? Look there in 1 and 2. It says 1 to 4, but it should be 1 and 2. Let me read it again. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Here's the first reason. There's no power but of God. Now, I know the devil's very powerful, but when it comes to authorities,
You got to look around and go, all right, who's in charge? The God of this world or the God over the God of this world? So you can't just blame, well, I think the Taoiseach's of the devil. Well, his position is not. Okay, he may be demon-possessed, but his power came from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power is resisting the ordinance, the commandment of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Not the spiritual damnation, but you'll resist trouble. You could be put to death. That's what's called the death penalty back then and even now. So there are three reasons, he says. Number one, because all powers and all authorities are put in place by God. Why does a teenager have to obey his parents? Because God gave you your parents. They are ordained of God to be in charge of you. Amen. There will come a time where you move out of the house and you can make up your own mind. 18, 19, 20, whenever you do finally get wise enough and move out of the house. Amen. But until that time, guess whose rules rule? Theirs. That's the right order of things. And God made them that way. God has a hand in appointing all ruling authorities. God put them there. And he gave them their power and authority over you and me. All authorities are ordained by God. They're put in power by the sovereignty of God. If you ever pondered that word, there are all kinds of misunderstandings of it. But it's very important. Look back. You're in Romans 13. Go back to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. God actually puts people into power and gives them their power. I want you to see this. When Israel, as a nation, were slaves in Egypt and they were under the whips of the taskmasters, guess who put the Pharaoh there? Wasn't the vote of the Egyptians. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. I put you there that I might show my power in thee. Guess who ran and controlled and ultimately conquered Pharaoh? It wasn't a riot. It wasn't a coup. It was God. I put you there, God says, so I could show how powerful I am and that my name, not yours, might be declared throughout all the earth. You know how long it took for them to find out the name of the Pharaoh of the days of Moses? 3,000 years. Pharaoh's name was obliterated. He was just known as Pharaoh. They didn't even know his name until just a couple hundred years ago. Let me say this. The name of God, the name of Jehovah, is known worldwide because God conquered Pharaoh. Show you another one. Look at Daniel. You can leave Romans for a moment. We'll come back to it. In the middle of your Bible is Psalms. Go to the right. Well, actually, start in Matthew and go left. You'll find, you'll probably find Daniel faster that way. It's just at the beginning of the 12 small prophets. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. There's a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the bee's knees. He thought he was the end all. He thought he was the emperor of all emperors. And God said, I put you there and I put an idiot in your place. That's what he's saying. Watch this. Daniel chapter 4 in verse 17. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent. This was a demand that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be humbled and kicked out of his position of power. He says, to the intent that the living, that's you and me, may know that the Most High, talking about God, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will. And he setteth up over it the, what kind of men? You hear that word base? The bottom of this microphone is called a base, the base of the jack there. And God puts the lowest of people, the basis of people, sometimes into power. Hence, now we know why we have such idiots in charge sometimes. Amen. Somebody once said the government is a prison run by the inmates. Okay, but he's talking about government, and the idea is sometimes you wonder how do these guys get into power? God. Now, I'll also say this. I'll repeat this again.
when he does do that, it's not because he thinks they're great. He thinks we need to be humbled. Usually the leadership that we get, we deserve. Can you nod your head? So don't go complaining about, oh, our government is so oppressive. Yeah, okay. Maybe we need that to humble us so that we look to God instead of our Taoiseach. Amen. We have too many Christians and we have too many people in Ireland who are looking to the government to take care of them when God says, you know what? You need me to take care of you. You better look to me. So our government officials are the powers that they have, the powers that a Garda has, the powers that our teachers have. These powers that they have, God gave them. So when we find ourselves squirming and struggling and arguing with them, who are we really arguing with? The one who put them there. Number two, I have to say this, rulers are a blessing to have. Anarchy. We have five kids, okay? When mom and I would leave, we would go out and come back. Guess how the condition of the house was improved while we were gone? Oh, my goodness. You know, without rules, without structure, without leadership, when you're putting somebody in charge, anarchy leads to chaos and to destruction. So I'm glad that we have rulers in our world. Amen. So rulers are a blessing. Look in verse 3 again. Back to Romans chapter 13 and verse 3. Romans 13:3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the what? The minister of God to thee for good. So who are they actually doing the work of? God. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister. He reads it. The minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Our government is there. People who are in charge are supposed to keep law and order, we say, but also bring justice, make things right, so that we're not having to do it. I shouldn't have to go to my neighbor and punch him out because he drove on my garden. I ought to have a procedure where I can get justice. And yet we always try to act and try to react based on our own feelings. Rulers are a blessing to have. By the way, did you notice what he says there in verse 3? He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Who's he writing to? Christians. That's all for the unsaved. That's for people who are bad people. No, it's for Christians. Because Christians do wrong too, don't we? We speed too, don't we? You know, there are Christians who get caught stealing. Amen. And when the government, when someone, the Garda, catches you stealing, don't call pastor and say, pastor, get me out of this. No, the best thing to happen is for you to get in trouble. Amen. They have authority. And we need to fear their authority. They're a blessing. 2 Samuel, hold your place here. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Now that, I'm not saying that they have all power without a check or a balance. 2 Samuel 23 in verse 3. See, everybody in power, you know what power does? It corrupts. And so what is the best thing to do is to put the fear of God in those who are in authority, because I'm going to show you even those who are in authority are under authority, aren't they? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3. 2 Samuel 23, 3, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, must be right, ruling himself in the fear of God. Because guess who the judges of this country, guess who the Taoiseachs, the Tánaistes, the Gardaí, guess who they're going to answer to one day? God. And the most important thing for anybody who ever has any position of authority is to have an authority over them. So rulers are a blessing, even bad rulers are.
You say, how can they be blessed? Well, because people who walk away from God need to reap what they sow. The Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget who? So when a nation starts to live without God, guess what kind of leaders they're going to have? The most wicked leaders, and their life will be hell. And that's a blessing. You say, why is that a blessing? Because you must reap what you sow. You have to face the fact that you brought it on yourself. Don't blame God. You brought it on. All right. Number three, because rebellion is our root sin. Why do we have to submit ourselves to even harsh authorities? Because rebellion is in us. We don't like the will of God over us, just like we don't like the will of anyone else over us. Guy, how many of you ever heard of a teacher who wrote a book named Benjamin Spock? Did you ever hear that name? This goes back to the 1950s. Every parent read his books. He said in his lectures back in the 1950s that you should allow your children to throw their temper tantrums. Don't force them to obey. Let them find their voice. Let them find their way. They'll be fine. That's what Benjamin Spock spoke. Taught. Yeah. That's every one of your parents when they were kids. And that's your kids too if you didn't decide Benjamin Spock is wrong. Spock taught that you don't restrain a child. You don't force a child to do right. And so we have generations of people who will never submit to authority because they never had to submit when they were kids. And that is the society we live in. I thought the society of your grandparents. Rebellion is our root sin. Violence in this day and age, I mean, we are the most violent culture. I can't tell you how grieving it is. Movies and social media is filled with violence, isn't it? God says when we've got a trouble, when we've got problem with submission, we've got a problem with rebellion, what do? We humble ourselves and we come under and we grit our teeth and do it. That's what Paul's saying in Romans 13. So somebody says, well, who are the higher powers? You know, for most people, it's their belly. That's what Philippians says. Whose God is their own belly. That's all people follow is their stomach. They only live for their flesh. They only live to keep themselves happy. They just serve their belly like it was a god. But truly, the higher powers, when he speaks of God. When he speaks of God, he's talking about Almighty God, the Most High God. Alongside God is Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad for Jesus? Because God became a man to show us how to submit, didn't he? Not my will, but thy will be done. Wow. Jesus Christ was going to turn himself over and lay his own life down under the authority of Pilate, under the authority of the Sanhedrin, under the authority of the will of the popular vote. He shows us how to submit. He's a higher power. Your parents, and no matter how old you are, you need your parents. Don't you dare be a stupid idiot, Egypt, to think you don't need your parents. Your parents, I don't care what they say, your parents are in almost all cases older and wiser than you. In almost all cases. You need your parents. God gave you your parents. Ask them for wisdom. Ask them their opinion. You don't have to, listen, you're 46 years old. You don't have to obey them. But you need to listen to them. They are a proper authority you should seek instead of some newspaper article. Back when I was growing up, all the people read Dear Abby. Did you ever hear of somebody like that? It was a column in the newspaper. People would say, I've got a problem with my husband. My kids aren't doing this. And Abby would write the answer for that. That's where everybody turned to. You've got better people to ask. The greatest honor you can give your parents is to ask their help. Your parents are an authority over you. Submit. As long as they don't go against scripture, you better do. Well, my parents told me I have to be home at 10 o'clock. That's not in the Bible. No, but obeying your parents is. Amen? Yeah. Somebody says, well, I want chapter and verse for why my parents should be able to tell me I can't get a smartphone. You don't need a chapter and verse on a smartphone. You need a chapter and verse on obeying your parents. Amen. Amen. You know who else? Your government. No matter where you live, our Taoiseach, Tánaiste, the police, the fire brigade. Listen, when the firemen come along and they say, move your car, you better move your car. Amen. They have authority. They are above us in power and authority, and generally they have to be obeyed. This used to all be taught. I mean, kids used to respect anyone in authority. Now, your teacher said what? I'm going to go give her a taste of my mind. Be careful of that. You're teaching your child to disrespect and not submit to authority. There may be a time where you have to deal with something, but it shouldn't be where you're teaching your children to not submit to authority. Older folks, take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter. So holding your place in Romans, look to the right. After Hebrews comes James and then 1 Peter chapter 5. Do you know the greatest resource you have in your home is not only your parents, but your grandparents. And the greatest resource, one of the greatest resources in this church is not the young and the new families. It's the older families. It's the older women. It's the older men. Look at your Bible. 2 Peter. Is it 2 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, there's that word, submit yourselves unto the elder, the older. Yea, all of you, here's your attitude, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he always gives grace to the humble. Let elders have influence on your life. Look to the older generation for wisdom. Younger generation has none. You know, it'd be stupid for somebody who has just gotten married and had their first kid for them to write about marriage and child training. They have no idea what they're writing. They have no experience. You better read somebody who's raised generations and they've seen things and they know the depth of what they're saying. Younger women are supposed to listen to older women. Younger men are supposed to listen to and be influenced by older men. Your pastor. Hebrews, you're in 1 Peter. Go back to the left a little bit. Find Hebrews chapter 13. When he says the higher powers, he means it. He means real people, real positions of authority. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them means be mindful of them that have the rule over you. Wow, you circle that word rule. Who have spoken unto you, what am I doing right now? Speaking unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their conversation, what's the end point? What is their focus of all they talk about? Verse 8, Jesus Christ. See, if you're in a church where all the pastor talks about is himself, if you're in a church where the pastor all talks about is you, if you're in a church where the pastor is talking always about money, you're in the wrong church. But if you're in a church where the pastor is always talking about Jesus Christ, you're in a good church, amen? Always trying to get you to follow him. And when he's trying to get you to follow, he's actually saying, and this is how you do it. You say, all right, he's an authority. I'm going to trust him. I don't know all the ins and outs. I trust him. Your pastor is an authority. God, please. One of the gifts to a church, can you imagine what it would be like to have a church where we just got together and we always just ate together and we always just fellowship together and we never heard preaching? We need leaders. We need people who take charge and say, this is how we're going to do it. And we're doing it the Bible way. Follow your pastor. Let him lead you. How about your employer? Oh, boy. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. You're in Hebrews. Go to the right, find 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Peter 2, 18. Servants. And again, it does not say slaves unless you got a new Bible. What a crazy thing. Your Bible, you know what a servant is? That's a willing servant. That's an employee. But he says this. Let me find out where I'm at. Verse 18. Servants, be subject, there's our word, to your masters. That's your employees. That guy or the woman that is in charge of your time for 8 hours a day. Submit yourselves, subject yourself to them. Be subject to your masters with all fear. I mean, now I know the constant government thing says, and I had to do it. I was, why my boss put me in charge of firing people, I don't know. But there are people who worked in our department that I was asked, all right, I want you to evaluate them. And if they're not doing this, doing what is needed, I need you to fire them. I thought that was very cruel. You do it. I don't want to do it. But he gave me authority to do that. What a terrifying thing. But I had that power. And you know what? When you're being evaluated by your employer and they need to tell you you're not here on time, you're not doing the work, you need to live in fear. They have power to fire you. Amen. Now, the government wants to take that away where, this was 35 years ago. But what it's like now, you almost can't fire anybody. Nobody lives in fear. And I don't think that's right. I think you're there and you're supposed to be doing your best. And if you're not, they need to be able to have the power to say, I've got 20 other people who want to take your job. You better work harder. Amen. See, that's cruel. No, it's life. And as Christians, we say, when I'm at my boss, when he says, or she says, be here at 8 o'clock, I'm there at 7:50. Amen. And when he or she tells me this needs to be done by Friday, I get it done by Friday. Amen. Well, I don't like the pressure. Then don't get the job. But that's what they are expecting. And you come under that. It's going to get quiet here today. I know. It's just not a plan. This is not a fun message, Pastor. I know. Your employer. Look at Titus. Go back to the left. Find Titus chapter 2. A little bitty book before 1st, 2nd Timothy. I'm sorry, after 1st Timothy, is Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. Titus 2 and verse 9. This is Paul talking to a pastor and telling him what to say to his congregation. Listen to this, Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well. Who are you there for?
Well, I'm there to get my pay.
He's not going to pay you if you're not pleasing him with your work. To please them well. That's in your Bible. In all things. Not answering again. You know what that means, don't you? How many of you were teenagers or kids rude enough when your parents would say, you're going to your room. I'm not letting you. You're not going to be watching anymore. Tell them,
my parents are here.
That's answering again. That's talking back. And when the boss is putting on you what you don't like to do, and you have this habit of always talking back to them or bad-mouthing them, God forbids that. He says, not answering again, not arguing with them. Verse 10, not purloining. Purloining is being lazy. But showing all good fidelity, faithfulness, not your employers, but the Christians that you're preaching to. Pastor Paul is writing to Titus to tell him what to preach. He says that those Christians, watch it, may adorn, may beautify the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Christians, when you're at the job and you're a joyful servant, when you do what is asked of you, and when you have a right spirit and you work hard, it beautifies the Word of God. It sets Christianity different than the rest of the world. And we forgot that. We forgot that. Oh, I've got another one here. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. These are all higher powers. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, here's our word, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I'm not submitting to that man. Then don't get married. Did you hear what I said? Say, I find it hard to submit to him. Why'd you marry him then? Well, I thought he would get better. I thought I could help him. You better pray. But the last thing he needs is for you to fight him. The Bible says, wives, submit to him. as unto the Lord, as if you're doing it for the Lord, because that's what you're doing. For the husband, not should be, not could be, but is the head, the authority of the wife, even as Christ is the head, the authority of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Did you know when Jesus calls us up home, we're going home? You're not going to be able to say, Lord, give me another week. Bitcoin's just about to reach its top. There's no debate. As the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in how many things? I only got some guys talking there. The wives didn't say a word. The Bible says for a wife to be in submission to her own husband, if you don't want to let him lead, then don't marry him. Amen. If you are married, start letting him lead the home and let him lead you. If he says this is what we're doing, discuss with him. Say, can I make a suggestion? Good. Amen. But don't go over my dead body. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous to have two heads in a home. You know what happens if you have two heads? You have a monster. And you say, well, it's scary. I can't trust him. Don't trust him. Trust the Lord. Amen. Do you know, when you got married, the Bible says what God hath joined, God gave you that man. And when he gave you that man, he says, now submit to him. You say, well, he's not worthy. Of course he's not worthy. But it's not his worthiness that is why we submit. My employer, my government, is not worthy of me sacrificing my time and my money and my taxes for. But I do it because God says do it, and he is worthy. Does that make sense? All right, watch this full cycle. Now, gentlemen, you and I need to live by the same rules we make for our wives. We don't need to be the stupid jerks that we are. We need to start humbling ourselves as the Savior, as the servant of our wives. But there are times when you look at her and go, that's enough. And it all quiets right down there. Amen. By the way, only God is a perfect authority to obey. And so when we obey our authorities, we're actually seeking to obey God. That's all we're trying to do. You know what's missing out of that whole list? Myself. Well, I need to think of myself. I know what you mean by that, but be careful what you're trying to say by it. Don't do what you want. When you are on the job, and I tell you, I have to deal with this often with some people. And when you're supposed to be doing something and you're on your phone, you should be fired. Amen. Amen. Because you're thinking of yourself, you're thinking of your friends, you're thinking of, well, I need a break. No, you don't. You need to be working. Amen. And when you've got all of these authorities in your life and you're arguing with them, fighting them with them, you're actually under the dominion of Satan. And we'll talk about this as we go on in the next week. We actually are in a spiritual war for who's running your life. And you, as a servant of God, don't work for the enemy by resisting authority. So let's talk about what is government. Government is not just laws. Did you know government is people? In simple words, government is a group of people who direct and control the actions and conduct of the majority of other people, usually by established laws, but often by their own will. In a free country, people are never free to do as they please, but are governed by laws. Amen. You know why we have freedoms today? Because this government is a republic. It has laws that everybody, top to bottom, is supposed to obey, and that makes us free. We have to obey laws. But in a dictatorship, people are governed by edicts and commands by the leaders without law. Can you imagine if the Taoiseach just got up one day and said, some stupid commandment. And then the next day he came up with another command for everybody to do. That's how kings and despots and tyrants, they just say, okay, now you got to raise this tax. Now you got to give me this raise. Now you got to do that. That's not a free state. A free state has laws, and we live by those laws, not by the whims of our leaders. So the truth is, there are always people in charge
over everybody. I came up with this. If you're a passenger on a ship, you answer to the captain, don't you? But that ship's captain answers to the ship's owner. And the ship's owner often answers to those who have commissioned him and paid him to hire that captain and use that ship. Everybody has somebody they're answering to, and that's a good thing. Most of the people in Ireland have to do what the Garda say, don't they? But you know the Garda answer to the commissioners? And the commissioners answer to the Taoiseach? And guess who the Taoiseach answers to? Us. Everybody's got an authority over them. So that's a biblical thing. So don't fight authority. Find your place in it. And by the way, the more Christians that do find their place under, without pride, but in humility, finding their place, subjecting themselves under authority, the more this place will calm down, the more this society will stabilize. Our fighting, our arguing, our standing for our rights is not helping. Now, yes, there are things that need to be stood up for. There are marches that need to be done, but nobody needs to burn a building. Nobody needs to run over anybody. There need to be no fists ever thrown. We need to let the government know, you know, as our government, we will obey you. But in this point, we will not. And that is, well, I'm going to talk about it. There are times where the government cannot compel us to cross the line. And we will not. I'll talk about that in a minute. I have to say this because you need to grow up. God ordained does not mean godly. What do I mean by that? Powerful people do not have special protection from sin. Just because God put Pharaoh into position of power does not mean that God now made him good. God invests people with authority. But that doesn't guarantee they're going to do it. They're going to use it as God intended. You say, well, that's a king. God gave us a king. Therefore, that king is blessed and empowered by God to do the right thing. No, he's not. Many rulers are unjust. You know what the Bible says? Obey them anyways. God placed Pharaoh in authority and used Pharaoh's disobedience. God didn't say, now that I put this person in position of power and authority, I'm going to make sure he does good. We wish that that was true. It's not. And that leads to a point. I'm a pastor. I'm a missionary. I start churches. Didn't you used to grow up thinking that the bishop and the priests, they were kind of above sin? Do you remember that? They weren't. Pharisees would walk through the villages and towns of Israel, and as they walked through, people called them holy men. Well, these are men without sin. And they found out when Jesus rebuked them and exposed them, they were separated. They were tombs filled with dead men's bones. They were wicked and vile. They were adulterers. He exposed them. I'm just telling you this. Authorities are not free from sin and doing wrong. That's why you pray for them. That's why authorities, especially pastors, get married. That's why you have expectations of godliness in your leaders. You just don't have somebody because they're popular. Oh, I want to elect so-and-so. They look so nice. He talks so nice. You better find somebody who's character. Amen. You better have a leader that you're praying into godliness, because by power corrupts. So that's news for a lot of people. Well, Pastor Craig, you must sin less than the rest of us. Are you kidding me? I struggle just as much as you. I have to answer more for it. But my goodness, my position and power does not protect me from sin or temptation. That's why you read about pastors falling. And why people do stupid, wicked things. Because power does not, God's power, God's ordaining of putting somebody in the ministry doesn't guarantee that they're going to be godly. It's a choice, just like it is a choice to obey. Are you with me? It's a choice every time. So why should we allow imperfect people rule our lives? Can I say ruin our lives? Yeah.
you know what a government can do? You know what rulers can do? They can tax your money. You know what they call, what that's called? Stealing. They didn't earn that money. I did. And yet they take off 20 some odd percent every time I buy something. They can limit our lives and our freedoms, can't they? They tried that back in 2020. That's what government officials do. They love control. They can abuse us. Did you know 80% of this world live under abusive rulers and authorities, cruel authorities? So why should we do it? Because God says so. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is definitely not an easy thing to do as a Christian, because we usually see injustices just as much as the next guy. We can see where people are not leading right and not doing right, and it's very hard to come under them. So when men and women submit themselves to authorities, believe me, you're changing the authority. Did I say that? If I fight and resist my authority, guess who I am helping out? Not my authority. I'm helping out the devil. So when I submit to my authority, it actually changes. I'll get praise by my authority. God designed it. Even those who are in charge, when they look at a crowd and they see some people doing what the law says, doing what they're supposed to do, they change the leader, not the ones who are shaking their fists wanting to burn him to the ground. I'll give you an example. Remember a guy named Joseph in the Bible? You know, when he was unjustly treated by his brothers, unkindly treated, cruelly treated by his brothers, and they sold him. What a family. They sold him into slavery, and there he is being taken away at the back of a caravan, dragged down to Egypt. And there he's made a slave in Potiphar's house. Guess what the Bible says? He submitted himself to Potiphar, and as he submitted, he worked his butt off, and he honored Potiphar like his daddy taught him to, as his master. And he served willingly, joyfully. You know what his master did? You know what Potiphar did? He raised him up and put him in charge of his whole house. Amen. How about Daniel? Daniel was carried away captive. He was a teenager, and he had to serve a heathen king named Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what Daniel did? He served. Now, you got to remember, Daniel was also the same guy that said, but the king asked me to cross a line and defile myself with idol worship. I will not defile myself. And he had the line. But generally, Daniel was working for Nebuchadnezzar, he was a joyful servant. And guess what God did with Daniel? He raised him up and raised him up and raised him up and raised him up. Not because he argued and fought and he resisted and rebelled. It's because he submitted. How about Esther? Esther was, she was a slave girl almost effectively. They were in foreign land, and Haman was going to exterminate the entire Jewish population. He's going to have them all killed. And you know what she did? Mordecai asked her and said, speak. You're the wife. She was raised up and put into a position close to the king. And Mordecai says, speak to the king. You got to do something. She said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to do it. And so when she went in to the king, you know what she did? She came in humbly and she asked, can you meet with me for dinner tonight? I got something we need to talk about. He's like, whoo. I'm hungry. And she was very gentle, and in her submission to the power and the authority of her husband, he was king, it turned everything on its head. God uses submission. Are you with me? Anybody mad at me yet? Some of you have to be if I'm doing my job. We do it because God says so. How about Sarah? Sarah is married to Abraham. What a nut to be married to. Sweetheart, we're moving. Excellent. Are we going to Tahiti? No. Bahamas? No. The Black Sea? No. Where are we going? I don't know.
You don't know where we're going. That's right. You excited? No. Do you have any idea what this means? I've got to leave mom and dad, and we got to leave your elderly parents, and how are you going to make income? Abraham, what are we going to do? I have no idea, Sarah. But let's go. Sarah, you know what Sarah does? She goes. And doesn't God bless Sarah? Because she goes with it. I'm not going. This is stupid. You don't even know where we're going. You don't have a plan. If you don't have a plan, I'm not going to follow. And I've not ever known you to have good plans. She could have fought him the whole time. And what did she do? She called him Lord. She said, yes, sir. Let's go. Secondly, we submit because rulers have authority from God. Guess who the authority over the Romans were? The Roman Christians. Rome. Rome was not a great place for a Jew or a Christian, anybody. It was, most people were not citizens of Rome. Most people were foreigners. They were immigrants. And yet Rome had authority, and Paul said, submit to that authority. Did you know Jesus never resisted Rome? Did you ever think of that? Jesus is living in a country where there were Roman soldiers walking the streets. I visited Belfast in 1985. You know what I saw walking the streets of Belfast? British soldiers with armed machine guns walking the streets. That was Belfast, 1985. That's what Jesus grew up with. And he never confronted them, never started a bombing, never rallied Sinn Féin the IRA to try to get rid of the British and all this stuff. Jesus never once resisted the power of Rome over him. As a matter of fact, there was a man named Barabbas who started insurrection and murdered Roman soldiers. And he was supposed to be on the cross, wasn't he? And Jesus took the place of an insurrectionist on the cross because Jesus said, we will not fight. And did you know Christians brought Rome to her knees? You ought to read the history. Now, it wasn't a perfect thing. Rome fought against Christianity. But by the time Constantine became emperor, half of his empire was Christian. He said, well, if you can't beat them, join them. Rulers have authority from God. Thirdly, we submit for stability and quietness and peace. He says there in Romans, I'm rushing. It says, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He's the minister of God to thee for good. You want to have good in society? We submit to our authority. And it's also because we submit because of wrath, because of condemnation and judgment. Christian, you will reap what you sow if you go against the government and if you go against your parents, if you're constantly arguing with your boss, if you're constantly arguing with the pastor, if you're constantly arguing with any authority, if you have a problem with authority, who do you have a problem with? God. And you'll face it. You'll get in trouble. It's in their nature. And also he says, for conscience sakes, look at verse 5, Romans 13, 5. He says, wherefore ye needs be subject, not only for wrath of the ruler, but also for your own conscience sake. You know, you have to live with yourself. And can I help you? I'm going to do a deep dive into psychology for a second. If you've got this attitude of, I've got to fight, I'm not going to let anybody control me. I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. I'm not going to submit. You have a big problem, and it will destroy you. Jesus Christ never empowers us to fight with fists, even with words. You know what we fight with? Prayer, with humility. Guess who was, when Jesus was put on that cross and slammed into that hole and all the Jews looking at him and Pilate and everybody looking at that man on that cross, you know what the world saw? Failure. You know what God saw? Victory. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself that I might take it up again. And so when you are humbling yourself, you are like Christ staying in control. Because when you get into a rage and when you get into an argument and when you get into rebellion, who's actually in control? The devil behind you. For conscience sake. That's why people drink. They turn their music up so loud. They're drowning out guilt. They're drowning out remorse for all the rebellion, all the hurts that they've inflicted and have been inflicted on them. You want to have the Holy Spirit full of your life? Humble yourself. Lean upon Him. So what is our response? What are we supposed to do? Be subject. Come under authority. Let them tell you what you can and cannot do. Isn't that what we're supposed to do with the Bible? You see, most of us don't know how to submit ourselves to people because we've never submitted ourselves unto God. Be subject. Be better. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I've got to finish. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. Your employer, your the garda, the Taoiseachs, everybody around you who are higher powers over you may be just evil. You be better. Watch this. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. They sit in a position of authority. All therefore, whatsoever they say, they bid you observe, that observe, that observe into, but do not ye after their works. So do what they say, but don't do what they do, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uttermost rooms for the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, greetings in the market, so on and so forth. Listen, what are we talking about? Somebody in authority over you, your parents, the guard or whatever, do what they say. But don't do what they do. You don't need to be like anybody except who? Jesus Christ. You may have a cruel husband. You may have a cruel wife, a cruel parents. You may have a cruel employer. Do what they say, but do not learn their methods. You be like Christ. Be better than they are. Jesus said, if any man comes along you and is a soldier and he compels you to carry his rucksack for a mile, carry it twice. Go 2 miles. Blow him away. Somebody says, carry this. Yes, sir. Can we go 2 miles? What is that? You're submitting. You're not. You're interrupting my business. No, no, no. You be better. Third, thank them. I freak out Garda here all the time. One time there was a thing down in court. We were out there on the street. There was a Garda there, and he was having to deal with a small crowd or whatever. And he's standing there, scowl on his face, trouble around, all around. I went up to him. I said, thank you. Thank you for your service. He looked at me and went, what? Didn't expect that. They are ministers of God, and they don't even know it. And really, they're putting their life on the line. They're doing hard things. Thank them. It's a great thing to go around and be thankful. Pay your taxes. We're not going to go through it. Romans says, pay your dues. Pay what you owe. Say, well, they don't deserve it. Of course they don't deserve it, but they're going to get it. Because Jesus said, do it. Render to Caesar what are Caesar's. That's a whole other thing. I don't have time. Treat them with respect. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. It means I got to honor my parent, my authorities. Pray for them. Pray for them by name. When's the last time you prayed for Simon Harris? Did you know he is Taoiseach? Oh, Radker's gone? Yeah, he's gone. Have you prayed for Simon Harris? He's young. I think he's only 37 years old. He has no idea what he's doing. He needs us to pray for him. Amen? Pray for people. Pray for anybody that's in authority over you. You know, the Bible says that a heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And the Lord will turn it whithersoever he wants. Why don't you ask God to turn it your way? Pray. Know the lines you cannot cross. There's a time where Peter, James, and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin said, stop preaching about Jesus. Stop talking about him. Stop telling everybody that he's alive. And Peter said, you tell me, are we supposed to obey God or people? We will obey God. We cannot but say what we know. And they could not be told to not do something that was against to do something that was against Scripture. Know some lines that you cannot cross. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told that they had to bow down before a 60-foot statue to Nebuchadnezzar. You know what they said? We will not bow. We will honor our authority. We will do what he says until they cross the line, and we will not cross that line. You better know the lines. Don't get into the attitude of constantly, well, I'm constantly, the government's always wrong. No, the government's not always wrong. I mean, the government requires, John will tell you, we constantly, we have to do certain things to for revenue. We have to report this, report that. I go, But it's not wrong. It's just a bother. Amen. Do what they say. But if they ever try to get into our books and want to know how much you give or whatever, they try to cross the line. They try to tell me to spy on you. And I'm just telling you stupid ideas. They cross the line. I will not cross the line. You see what I'm saying? Know the lines and stand up to wrongs. I will tell Leo Varadkar, anytime I ever meet him, he is wicked. He has blood on his hands because of the abortion brought into Ireland. Amen. And I won't stop there. Now, if he makes a legislation and brings it in, I'll have to obey it. But I will rebuke him and I will stand up for what is right. Amen. And that's what Christians are supposed to do. We're not pushovers. So here's the finish. There are times when a people must confront their authorities for wrongdoing, like the Germans should have done. Amen. When they knew people were being, there were cities next to Auschwitz and Dachau and all these places where people were being gassed in the ashes and being burned. The ashes were falling on them like snow. And the people of Germany would not confront their leadership. But the majority of time, we yield. We submit ourselves to all authority as a rule. We don't fight. We don't argue. What do? We comply. That may not be easy for you, but it ought to be because the Bible says so. I'd ask you, are you a Bible believer? How about a Bible obeyer? Pray for our authorities. Pray that we have the right spirit towards them, because the only way to save a nation, to save a family, save a marriage is not by fighting, but by submitting. I mean, they walk all over you, but as long as they don't ask you to do something that is against Scripture, against God, boy, you're just going to have to grit your teeth and go, okay. And it conquers the most wicked sin of all, which is pride, arrogance, and rebellion that's in us, even as Christians. Would you stand with me and bow in prayer? I'm going to ask you, as we bow in prayer, every eye closed, every head bowed, who are you fighting? Who are you? And who have you rebelled against? And there's been a war maybe between you and somebody else. It's time to confess that war as wrong. Obviously, leaders do wrong. Obviously, rulers do wrong. But you're just as wrong if you're fighting them instead of submitting yourself to them. That's how God changes them. It will change the heart, not only of your authority, but it'll change your heart too. So, Father, as we bow in this moment, we are a rebellious people. We just don't want to admit it. We live in a society that fuels anger and rebellion and fighting and violence. And it's not getting any better, and it won't get any better. No. Not without the new birth. And even with the new birth, not without a determination to obey the Bible when it says, submit ourselves unto every authority. And that doesn't mean my friends, it doesn't mean the social media, it means the right authorities that are over us that I don't agree with and I don't like, but you tell me to obey. And Lord, by doing that, would you show us prove to us the will of God is best. We can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God when we submit ourselves and humble ourselves. Because what we're actually doing is we're saying, Lord, you're in charge and I trust you. So, Lord, as we finish up this message, I pray, God, we would never forget that the problem is not our authority. The problem is how we're submitting or not submitting to you. I pray that we would desire more than anything to say, Lord, I will let you be in charge through any authority in my life. I will honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your hymnal.